Hello and welcome to Saffron Says. It's heard every week here on Global Community Radio, Channel 1, Geneva, New York. News and more, globalcommunityradio.blogspot.com. And the big red button, Victor, New York. Press for the best, thebigredbutton.info. Alright, so, recently I met someone, just a friend of mine, but this friend has this talent, this aptitude for voice acting, and she can voice the Evil Queen and Regina Mills from Once Upon a Time. Well, this caused me to start watching Once Upon a Time just to see for myself just how close it was, etc., etc. But then as I started to go down this rabbit hole, my analytical eye, which I don't know if I've ever mentioned on this program, but it's basically where all my media analyses come from, my analytical eye started going haywire. Basically, I started noticing things about the Regina character, the Evil Queen character, as they started to, you know, sort of come into fruition. I mean, there's analyses to a lot of characters, but there's something to be said about this one. So, the best place to start, and I thought the best place to start was with Regina, but that's not the case here. Because you want to start, in this case, with her upbringing, which is Cora and Henry. They don't have last names, although Cora is buried as Cora Mills, but that makes no sense to have a last name, really, in the storybook land in the Enchanted Forest. So let's start with Cora, okay? She is the Miller's daughter. I've never read the story of the Miller's daughter, and it is what it is, but I guess that's where Mills comes from. So she is at the bottom. And I think what ultimately plants the seeds for her to want to even remotely rise to power is Princess Ava, and I believe also King Leopold. I could be wrong. Basically telling, well, basically being absolutely bullies to Cora and people like Cora. This is a lot of the time where you see other bullies come up because they ultimately have people bullying them, which does and can lead to this sort of thing. And basically exerting power and basically making Cora bow and things like that. Well, Cora eventually discovers, you know, she basically decides, hey, I want out of this life. I want to be the one with the power because I don't want to be like this. Day in and day out, I don't like this. So she is now going after basically that drug, that aphrodisiac, that is power. And eventually, she seeks out Rumpelstiltskin. Actually, no. What happens is that the tale of Rumpelstiltskin starts to play out in that she says, well, hey, I can spin a straw into gold because there is a kingdom that straight up needs gold. And then Rumpelstiltskin shows up. Basically saying, and disregard that thing I said about King Leopold. That's wrong, I believe. Rumpelstiltskin basically shows up saying, hey, I can help you spin straw into gold. I can teach you magic, etc., etc. Okay, so Cora has magic in exchange for Rumpel's first child. I forget just how Korra worms her way out of that deal, but it really doesn't matter in this particular analysis. So Korra now has magic. And she can now basically... She's got her power. Now, where this goes from here, I'm not 100% sure. There's a lot of different winding roads. Because eventually, she meets a man who claims to be a prince, though he's not really. And she's, you know, charming him. I think this is actually before... I think this is actually goes before the whole straw into gold thing, because... I think there's a proverbial nod to it, so to speak. But that happens, then she gets an illegitimate child by virtue of that. Well, then the straw into gold thing happens. A lot of things in Once Upon a Time you will find happen out of chronological order, and it's so gosh darn confusing. So then she meets and marries Prince Henry. Now, I guess the real reason that I mentioned that whole illegitimate child thing is, well, because... She's basically snitched on by this princess named Ava. Now, that comes into play later. Ava, who later becomes the queen, interesting. I mean, okay, Ava's a child, so naturally this kind of thing would and might and would happen. Until she grows up. Well, Ava becomes queen. And eventually... Snow White is born, and etc., etc., and Korra has a child named Regina. So Korra is basically living in the labs of luxury like a princess, but she's not a queen. Henry's not a king. I don't even think Korra's a legitimate princess, either. So Korra and Henry have Regina. Now... Korra is what I like to think of, and I'd like to think of her as an abusive mother, but she claims that she's doing all this for Regina's benefit. Regina hates when Korra uses magic on her, etc., etc. And so Regina vows that Korra will never be anything like Regina. That she'll never be anything like Korra. I am perhaps the mistress of misspeaking, as well as the mistress of puns, but that's a different thing. So. That said. One day. Korra invites King Leopold and his daughter Snow... Well, no. Korra knows Snow White is going to be in the area, and she's going to be riding, so Korra uses her crazy magic to spook Snow White's horse and causes her to fall off, or causes the thing to go haywire. Knowing that Regina, with her kind heart, would save the horse. And Leopold is so gosh darn grateful that he wants to marry Regina and basically make her queen. Much to Korra's delight. Now, Regina does not love King Leopold. Regina loves a stable boy by the name of Daniel. Now, that said, Snow White finds out about this, and Korra tricks Snow White into telling her. It's to trick Snow White, really... She's 10, okay? This kind of thing happens when you're young. Just in the same manner as with Ava. Interesting. Korra, and I'm highlighting Korra here, ends up killing the stable boy, Daniel. I have to wonder about that. And this is where I think Regina kind of makes a misstep here. Because... honestly, any anger she has or any upset feelings she has should be directed at her mother and not Snow White. But I guess all the gaslighting that Cora did, you know, love is weakness and like all this other stuff, finally gets to Regina. Even though Regina doesn't like magic, etc., 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 she eventually wants to get out from under her mother's grip. And Rumpelstiltskin basically agrees to teach her magic. Just as well he's teaching Zelina, but that does not play much into what we're talking about here. So he agrees to teach her magic. So she now has power, both politically and in the sense of magic. That's interesting, because then that can really corrupt someone. She now has power at her fingertips. She now has the ability to basically turn everyone against Snow White, even though in some cases still kind of acting as that loving stepmother, but in other cases, you know, being the evil queen. So it's at that point, really, I think that the evil queen was born, not so much at the point of spam call. Sorry. Not so much at the point of, you know, when that happened. Yeah, the seeds were planted, but I think they were fertilized by her power. I think they were fertilized more so by her power. Her magic. And this is where you get the tyrant that is the evil queen. Without that love in her heart, she has almost no other emotion to fuel it, which is anger. I mean, for me, when I lost the love of my life, I wasn't so much filled with anger because I didn't have that upbringing of anger. Actually, kind of the upbringing that I had kind of balanced me out quite a bit. Whereas that evil upbringing that she had with Cora, love is weakness, everything like that, kind of fertilized that whole idea of, you know, revenge, get revenge on Snow White, and things like that. And I'm going to use my power for my own personal gain. She didn't want to, but her environment caused her to become very much like Cora. So, that said, we fast forward to when she wants to basically she's had enough. She finally wants her freaking revenge on Snow White. And she gives her the poison apple. Well, guess how well that works. So then she resorts to the dark curse. She wants to destroy their happy ending. She straight up wants to destroy their happy ending. Hang on, typing something. Alright, so she wants to destroy their happy ending. So she goes and basically goes to Maleficent, who has the dark curse, the scroll to activate the dark curse. And so she is full-on evil queen at this point. And she has to give up the heart of the thing she loves most. Well, she is pretty far gone at this point. But when she sacrifices her father to cast the dark curse, she does have a hole, albeit a small one, but that hole grows over time. And what they find, what she finds, is that the curse kind of forces people to do what she says because she's the mayor, etc., etc., etc. Now, that said, so she does have this hole in her heart. She now has this hole in her heart, which she tries to fill by, well, first outright abducting a child, and then adopting a child in the form of Henry. Because of the curse, well, Henry gets the Once Upon a Time storybook later in life, and he basically presumes her to be the evil queen. Why? Appearance? Well, that's one thing. And her actions. Appearance and her actions. She tries to convince him that he's crazy. Why? For the sake of... I don't think it's for the sake of tormenting him as it is, as she does, you know, with everyone else. I think the reason she's trying to convince him of otherwise is so that he doesn't go around and try to break the curse, because if that happens, well, yeah. She is now in a situation where everyone wants her blood. Well, he does find his mother originally, so naturally she wants to remove this game piece from the board. And you then have a situation wherein the one thing that she loves is threatened, is put in danger because of her own gosh darn actions. When he eats the apple turnover that's poisoned. And so she and Emma team up and do everything she can to basically save Henry. Curse is broken because Emma gives Henry a true love's kiss. Everyone still sees her as the evil queen, and that's a lot of what's going on in season two, is a lot of that. Now, Cora comes back in season two as well. More gaslighting ensues. More you need me ensues. So this just cements the idea of, you know, evil. But I think Henry's goodness and his purity is kind of keeping her from becoming completely evil again, because she wants to make Henry happy. And then in season three, Henry gets kidnapped off to Neverland. So it's at this point that she and the Charmings, for lack of better naming conventions, have to start working together. And then, by the trope of enemy of my enemy, she and the Charmings work together again. and again. And she basically, you know, she understands kind of what Cora did to her as a kid. So that's why she no longer, you know, hates Snow White. Now, it's at this point in the series where we have the Snow Queen entering, and she casts the Curse of Shattered Sight, which I think it's called the Curse of Shattered Sight, but I'm not sure which. But this curse causes everyone to hate each other. That includes Regina, who ultimately becomes the Evil Queen, only in dress once more. And she turns on Snow White for like one episode, and then realizes just how gosh darn ridiculous that is. So then she has to team up with, quote, the Queens of Darkness, i.e. Ursula, Cruella de Vil, Maleficent, to do whatever it is, because she wants her happy ending. Even though her happy ending was basically, well, hijacked by her sister. How did that happen? I still have yet to figure that one out, how Xelena was able to even remotely come back, go back to the past, and do all this other stuff. So now you get into season 5. Regina has that light of love again, in the form of Robin and Henry. So then eventually Hades kills Robin, being afraid that the Evil Queen will come back. Regina basically separates herself from the Evil Queen, so now you have good and you have evil. A completely pure being and a completely rotten being. Which is what basically Dr. Jekyll's serum did. Dr. Jekyll does come up later. I mean, he comes up at the end of season 5 going into 6. That's what the serum does, is it separates kind of the yin and the yang. I, personally, have my own evil side. I call it Serenity, as I've probably said on this program. And I see it as an evil side because I basically feel like I lose all control whenever she chooses to come out, or whenever I get so gosh darn angry that it feels like someone else is in control. And in some cases, depending on how angry I get, I don't remember 100% of what happened. Hence, well, Serenity. The one thing that always kept her at bay, Serenity, was, you know, the light of love in my heart for one person. Well, that and my family. But love keeps darkness at bay. This comes up in the movie Twitches too, although Once Upon a Time will tell you light keeps darkness at bay. So, season 6, crap with the Evil Queen ensues. And by that, I mean the Serum Evil Queen and Wish Realm Robin. Somehow those two end up teaming up. And Regina is still good, but then realizes that, you know, with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, she still has the potential for evil. So in order to kind of yin-yang everything out, she takes a part of her heart, as well as the Evil Queen's, combines the two, so now you have a yin-yang scenario where there's both good and evil, and that's what a perfectly balanced person is. I mean, is light and dark. Now there is a, what I'd like to think of as a perfect sinless person, which is all good, but balanced is light and dark. which is basically what we all are. We all have light and darkness inside of us. Whether it's something we see versus how we're brought up versus anger, etc., etc., we all have light and dark inside of us. Now, while Regina may still have this darkness inside of her, she, you know, in the end of most of the anomaly that is season 7, and it is definitely an anomaly, she becomes the good queen. Why? Because she is able to take that darkness and not let it control her. Her son Henry, her loved ones, everyone is able to is basically able to exist under her rule. So, it's definitely interesting in its own right. It is definitely just interesting to see how a character goes from good to evil. I could do another analysis like this next week. There's this character I've been looking at called Majin Buu. And that's not 100% of, you know, based on what he's learned, but it's based on other outside forces that basically give him the whole idea of good and evil. And his whole thing deals with how he's created and things like that. It's not so much the idea of having power that turns him evil, but whereas, like, with Regina, it's you know, a combination of upbringing and power and that hole in your heart. There's a few different things that actually created the evil queen. So, that being said, folks, we move smartly onward to the end of the show, and Saffron says, have a nice week.